early in ministry, one of the tools I picked up concerning premarital counseling is a workbook called Before You Say I Do. One of the assignments in the workbook that I highlight and talk through concerns finding a verse or passage of Scripture to base your marriage on, other than the popular ones such as Ephesians 5 or 1 Corinthians 13. So a passage I share with every couple is 1 Kings 12. It's kind of like Judges. You really don't think much that there's much about marriage in 1 Kings. And it doesn't have anything to do with marriage directly. But it does give solid counsel about working with and leading other people. Well, the context of the passage is that Solomon has died. Under him, tribesmen who had once known no central authority and no political obligation save to rally in times of danger were now organized in government districts, liable to heavy taxes and conscription for military service, which under Solomon had turned into conscription for manual labor, slavery in effect. And so the tribal system, the 12 tribes of Israel, that was all broken. And the effective basis of social obligation was now no longer a relationship, covenant relationship with Yahweh, but it was the state. And so a new king, Solomon's son Rehoboam, is set to come on the throne. But things are not at all well in the country. Solomon's policies had bred mistrust and even hatred. They were at war with each other. Rehoboam is faced with a situation where he needs to learn to give his life away to lead his people. And so as you seek to put your godly view of humanity into practice, there are principles for each one of us to help us deal with people compassionately, work with them, and lead them. Real leadership. 1 Kings chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 1. Then Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. Now when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it, he was living in Egypt, for he was yet in Egypt, where he had fled from the presence of King Solomon. Then they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, "Your father made our yoke hard. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke, which he put on us, and we will serve you." Then he said to them, "Depart for 3 days, then return to me." So the people departed. King Rehoboam consulted with the elders who had served his father Solomon while he was still alive, saying, "How do you counsel me to answer this people?" Then they spoke to him, saying, "If you will be a servant to this people today and will serve them and grant them their petition and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." But he forsook the counsel of the elders which they had given him, and consulted with the young men who grew up with him and served him. So he said to them, "What counsel do you give that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, 'Lighten the yoke which your father put on us'?" The young men who grew up with him spoke to him, saying, "Thus you shall say to this people who spoke to you, saying, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, now you make it lighter for us.' But you shall speak to them, 'My little finger is thicker than your father's loins. Whereas my father loaded you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions.'" Then Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, as the king had directed, saying, "Return to me on the third day." The king answered the people harshly, for he forsook the advice of the elders which they had given him. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions." So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of events from the Lord, that he might establish his word, which the Lord spoke through Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Real leadership. Real leadership helps others live productively. That's the end goal. When we think about leadership, when we think about whatever God is doing in our lives that He is going to use us in other people's lives, one of the things that we need to strive to do is help others live productively. We need to help others succeed and to feel like a success. Again, the context of the situation is Solomon has died. And instead of for everyone to come to Jerusalem where the capital was, they went to Shechem. So already you begin to see a split trying to occur. So Rehoboam goes to Shechem, where he's going to be made king. And he's met there by Jeroboam, who was a brave warrior and a rival, political, military rival. And Jeroboam's request was very simple. Give us enough freedom to live productively. Give us enough freedom. Instead of being conscripted into the military, and even worse, being conscripted into manual labor, just let us live lives that are productive. Then he said, we will serve you. We will serve you. If you let us live lives that are productive, we will serve you. So Rehoboam had to decide whether he was going to follow in Solomon's footsteps of keeping the people in bondage, or he was going to decide to give them enough freedom to succeed. And so Rehoboam went over the top and kept up those reasonable, unreasonable expectations. He did not help others live productively. When I worked in the greenhouse, my title was production manager. I didn't know enough about growing plants, and still don't, to be called the grower. That was really the title of the person who ran the greenhouse. But I didn't know enough of that. But what I was tasked to do was to see that everyone else could get their jobs done. So whether we were transplanting flats, bedding plants, or potted plants, I made sure to have everything ready so that everybody else could get their jobs done and succeed. Let me tell you, if you're going to pot up 35,000 mums in 3 days, you got to be ready. And that was my job. It is your job in your marriage, in your home life, in this church, in this community, to help others live productively. So are you giving your life away for the good of others? The truth that real leadership helps others live productive lives underlies Paul's directions in 1 Timothy 2 for us to pray for all those in authority. He said to pray for them so that we might live a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Because it is in that context that the gospel can go out. It is in that context when we live quiet, peaceable lives. I'm in the middle of a Joel Rosenberg book. I've got a stack of books. In fact, it got added to me this morning. But I've got a stack of books that I am just anxious to read. Except, let me tell you, the one I'm in right now is a tough read in this regard. It began in about 1938 in Europe. And it follows several different storylines, but it's all coming together, of course. But about how people lived in those days. One of the main characters saw his little sister killed. And then the family, a few weeks or a few days later, the father and mother was killed basically in front of him. 17-year-old boy. And you think, well, that's fiction. Yes, but they lived that kind of life. Those things really did happen. And so you and I are to pray for our leaders that they would allow us to live quiet, productive, tranquil lives. Productive lives. Are you helping those around you live productive lives? Do you give your kids or grandkids tasks to do around the house so that they will learn to work and be productive? Or do you just say, well, it'd be easier for me to do it myself? If you don't teach them to work, who is? In your marriage, are you helping your spouse live productively? Real leadership helps others live productively. Real leadership, in order to help others live productively, listens to good counsel. Seek and follow good advice. Rehoboam approaches two groups of people to ask for some counsel. The first group he asked were the elders who had served his father. Then he asked a group of his friends. The friends were like Rehoboam. They were young, they were ambitious, they were proud, and they were insecure. And in Solomon's court, there were those who considered the people of the nation as subjects to be possessed, body and soul. The first group of counsel, the elder said, if you will serve them, if you will listen to them and grant them their request and will serve them, they will serve you forever. Well, he didn't like that. That wasn't flashy enough. So the second group says, you know what? This is what you need to do. This is what you need to say to them. You thought my dad was something? I'm bigger than he was. That's what he said. My little finger. And it just went south on him because he did not listen to good counsel. Have you ever made a decision that you've regretted? Well, I made one yesterday, but I've already gotten over it. Have you ever made a decision you have regretted the rest of your life? I have. So that's why I listen to good counsel, particularly when it comes to financial situations, because I realized the hard way that I didn't know what I was doing. And so I began to seek godly, wise counsel. That's why I listen to Dave Ramsey, so I can put a plug in for him. That's why I read books that people talk about how to handle money godly, in a godly way. Because I made decisions early on in our marriage that have affected us the rest of our lives, and will. But I realized I did not know enough. You know, there's always a point in life where we don't really know what we don't know. Well, know enough about things to know that you don't know and seek godly counsel. So are you giving your life away for the good of others? Are you giving counsel and listening to good counsel? What counsel do you follow? Where do you seek wise counsel? Not just over the big important matters of life, but over the smaller things as well. One way is an accountability group. That's part of what we're about on Wednesday mornings. Brothers, breakfast, and books. We don't always ask the question. In fact, I don't know that we've ever asked the question. But we need to ask the question, have you been faithful to the Lord this week? Have you been faithful to your wife? Now, not all the men are married. But have you been faithful? Then there's the idea of mentoring, where you come alongside someone. And let me tell you, until the Lord really grows this church, and in fact, that to the point that we have many in all generations, some of the best things that men my age and younger can do is just be around these men that have been married for over 70 years. I said to one of my heroes the other day, you're my hero because you lived with this woman and kept her from killing you for 70 years. We need to seek good counsel. We need to seek good counsel. One of the worst things that a man or a woman can do is go to work and listen to the people at work gripe and talk about their problems. Because most of us live around and work with people maybe who are not believers. So we need to listen to good counsel. We need to learn to lead. Real leadership leads by becoming a servant leader. Real leadership helps others live productive lives. Whether that's your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, whoever it is, you help them live productive lives. You listen to good counsel. That's how you get to do that. And then you become a servant leader. The task for us is to show others that you are a safe leader. Jesus is the best example. Are you a follower of Jesus? The wise counselors gave Rehoboam wise, a sound course of action, something that he needed to do that probably would have kept the kingdom united. But he said, you know what? I know better than you do. And that's when he lost it. The wise counsel said, be a servant to them. Serve them, and they'll follow you. Serve them, and they'll follow you. Rehoboam was the king. But to stay king, he needed to be a servant. He needed to show the people that he cared about someone besides himself. He needed to show them compassion and grant their petition. Serving in the army to protect the kingdom was one thing, but being conscripted into manual labor was quite another. Particularly when it wasn't helping you, it was helping your cousins in the South. And he was advised to speak good words to them. And that's why Proverbs 15 says that a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. If you want to lead someone, whether that's a spouse, a child, a friend, a coworker, anybody, then become a servant leader. The greatest leader of all time became a servant leader. When God created us, He created us to have a relationship with Him. He created every one of us in His image, and part of that image is that we have the ability to relate to Him. But at one point in human history, our forefather said, you know what? I know better than he does. And every one of us, after that point, has made the same statement. And that we call that sin. It's when we've disobeyed God and gone our own way. And God said, I still love these people. I still love these creatures. And He took on human form. And He became a man. And then Jesus was willing to go to the cross for us. He was a servant leader. So are you giving your life away for the good of others? Take that example of Christ and apply it into your relationships. Remember, too, that if you are a covenant partner of Christ, you are serving Christ, you are serving others. Men, have you learned to lead? In those days of making bad decisions, I had to learn to lead. And I think I've said that to every young man that I've married since. Learn to lead your wives. Learn to lead your family. But are you giving them anything to follow? When you walk into the room, men, what does your family see? A tyrant? An egotist? A man consumed by anger? Or do they see a servant? A person of compassion. Do you speak good words to your wife, to your children, to your friends? Moms, the same goes for you. Do you say good words to your husband, to your children? Instead of saying, you did this wrong, Do you say you can do better? Do you think good thoughts after them? That is a self-fulfilling prophecy in the most positive sense. So are you giving your life away for the good of others? Are you loving others as you love yourself? Is not just a warm feeling, it's action. Are you helping the people in your life live productive lives? As you press into new chapters of life, do you seek good counsel? Are you a servant leader? Are you giving real leadership?